بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, this month of Ramadan has been selected and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the manifestation of some great significant things. There are many different titles that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned for this month of Ramadan. شهر المواسات شهر الصبر and it is famously and commonly known as شهر نزول الوحي. Every divine scripture and every divine book that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was revealed in the month of Ramadan. The hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said أنزلت صحف إبراهيم أول ليلة من شهر رمضان. The صحف, the scriptures and the scrolls that were revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam were revealed to him on the first night of the month of Ramadan. وَأُنزِلَتِ التَّوْرَاتِ لِسِتِّمْ مَضَتْ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the Torah that was revealed to Musa alayhi salam was revealed on the seventh of Ramadan. وَأُنزِلَ الْإِنْجِيلِ بِثَلَاثَ عَشَرْ مَضَتْ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Injil was revealed on the 14th of Ramadan. وأنزل الزبور لثمان عشر خلت من رمضان. Zabur was revealed on the 19th of Ramadan. وأنزل القرآن لأربع وعشرين خلت من رمضان. While the Quran was revealed on the 25th night of Ramadan. So this is a month of نزول الوحي, شهر نزول الوحي, a month wherein every divine scripture was revealed deliberately. It was no coincidence. Allah had selected this month for the divine revelation. Hence, my attachment to that divine revelation must be of a greater nature after the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran, and you find that whenever we purchase a device or we purchase an appliance, it comes with a manual. And you will not dare use that device, a device you are unfamiliar with, or you will not operate that appliance until you do not refer to the manual and study the manual. Otherwise, you mess it up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life in this dunya. In order to operate this life, Allah has given us a life manual, and that is the Quran. Time and again, we need to refer to the Quran, all the time, in fact. That is our life manual that will teach us and guide us how to operate our lives in a manner that is pleasing to Allah. Another title that this month enjoys is Shahrul Intisarat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen this month and selected the month of Ramadan for the manifestation of the most significant conquests, victories and triumphs that had ever taken place, not only in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but throughout Islamic history. Yesterday, Allah allowed us to experience and to observe the 17th of Ramadan. The 17th of Ramadan is a very significant day in the Islamic calendar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to it as Yawmul Furqan, the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had distinguished, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had drawn a clear distinction between haqq, between truth and batil, and falsehood. That happened on the 17th of Ramadan in the form of the Battle of Badr. So we find that the first, Ummul Ma'arik, it is known as the mother of all battles, Ghazwatu Badr. This Battle of Badr, the very first great and significant victory and triumph for the Muslims happened and took place in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ. Allah addresses the Sahaba, رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين, that Allah's nusrat was with you It was Allah's nusrat on the occasion of Badr, when you fought against the strong, well-equipped Quraysh, the Meccan army. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you are adillah. You are a small, weak, ill-equipped group of Muslims. Just over 300 Muslims against this force, well-equipped force. Allah says that was يَوْمُ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَلْ جَمْعَانِ. The day the two forces met, that was يَوْمُ الْفُرْقَانِ. That significant battle, the first great significant battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed its manifestation in the month of Ramadan. And it's no coincidence that the culmination of victories in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the culmination of victories in the form of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. So you have the first great battle, the Ghazwatul Badr, the Battle of Badr, and the last, not last, but the most significant one was Fath Makkah, which also took place in the month of Ramadan. This was no coincidence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected this month. It is Shahrul Intisarat. It is a special characteristic of this month that you will enjoy divine nusra. A Muslim will enjoy triumph. A Muslim will enjoy success. A Muslim will enjoy conquest in this month of Ramadan. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. On the occasion of Badr, Allah spoke of His nasr. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ بِبَدْرِ. On the occasion of Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke of His nasr. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. This conquest, the conquest of Makkah, it took place in the 8th year of Hijrah, on the 23rd of Ramadan. So you had the Battle of Badr in the month of Ramadan on the 17th, in the 2nd year of Hijrah. 6 years later, the 8th year of Hijrah, the last 10 days and last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, the culmination of the victories in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken place. And this manifestation of Allah's nusra, the manifestation of Allah's assistance, and the manifestation of Allah's triumph for the Muslim ummah was not confined to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that thereafter, throughout Islamic history, every significant victory that had taken place in the month of Ramadan. And again, I reiterate, this was no coincidence. This month has been selected by Allah as Shahrul Intisarat. It is a month wherein the Muslims will always enjoy victory and triumph in the future as well, inshallah. We find that a few years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims, they took on the single greatest superpower of its time. And that was the Persian Empire. We had two great empires, even during the seerah and the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had the Roman Empire, and you had the Persian Empire. And for 4 centuries, these empires continuously waged war against each other without any one of the two emerging as victorious. And here you had, after a few years, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the month of Ramadan, the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah had taken place. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the commander of the Muslim armies, and a decisive victory was manifested at the hands of the Muslims on the eve of the month of Ramadan. A few years later, the Muslim forces were in Egypt, and this was during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The battle is known as Ma'arikatu Ain Shams. And this was the battle that had taken place in the land of Misr, the land of Egypt. During this battle, the famous port city Alexandria was conquered at the hands of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala. And close to the port city of Alexandria, you had the Babylonian fortress. These two, the port city of Alexandria, as well as the Babylonian fortress, the fortress of Babylon, both of them were considered to be impenetrable. In fact, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, He sent reinforcers on three different occasions until eventually the Muslims, under the leadership of Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they managed to conquer and penetrate these two fortresses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had awarded them with victory. This victory and this conquest had taken place in the 19th year of Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan as well. Then of course the famous victory, Ma'rikatul Andalus, the conquest of Andalus, the land of Spain. This conquest had taken place during the reign of the Umayyads, the Umayyad Khilafah. And there, Tariq ibn Ziyad, he was against the enemy, and they were fighting under the Visqafic king, King Roderick. Tariq ibn Ziyad, rahimahullah, he had a force of perhaps 10 to 12,000 Muslims, while King Roderick, on the other side, he had a mighty force of up to 30 to 40,000 warriors. And with the nusra of Allah, with the help of Allah, Tariq ibn Ziyad, rahimahullah, he had gained victory over King Roderick. He was considered as the last Ghafiq king, and in fact, his body was never found after the battle. And that is what created a sense of fear amongst his forces and troops, and it led to their defeat. This decisive victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had manifested at the hands of the Muslims, this had taken place on the 25th of Ramadan in the year of 93 Hijrah. And we know the Muslims then ruled the land of Andalus. They ruled the land of Spain for 750 glory years. So it opened up, this victory that had taken place in the month of Ramadan, had opened up the Muslims to the world, in fact, to a civilization. There was such progress and such advancement and such good that came out of this fath, the fath of Andalus, that even the European countries at that time looked with great envy at the Muslims who were residing and occupied that part of the land. The very next year, during the Khilafah of the very same Umayyad Khalifa, Muhammad ibn al-Qasim, a youngster, 17 years of age, he was the nephew of al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He waged a battle and a war against Raja Dahar, King Dahar of the land of Sindh. The land of Sindh, present-day Pakistan. Raja Dahar, he was the last Hindu emperor and king of that region. There were some Hujjaj who were traveling or returning back from Hajj or en route to Hajj. This Raja Dahar, King Dahar, he had captured them. He persecuted them. There were some women over there. He molested the women. And when the Khalifa heard of this, he sent Muhammad ibn al-Qasim, rahimahullah, with his forces, and they successfully gained victory over Raja Dahar, and they conquered that land in the month of Ramadan. This had taken place in the 94th year of Hijrah. We move ahead, a few centuries ahead, and there are quite a few, when you study the seerah, when you study tariq, Islamic history, you will find there are a number of great, significant victories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had manifested at the hands of the Muslims in the month of Ramadan. And the point is that this was no coincidence. Allah had selected this month as Shahrul Intisarat. Every victory, every conquest that was of great significance had taken place in the month of Ramadan. You had the Ma'rikatu Hittin, the famous victory of the Battle of Hittin in the year 583 Hijrah. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, the liberator of Masjid al-Aqsa. We know that Masjid al-Aqsa and the land of Al-Quds, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liberate it and purify it from those Zionists who are occupying that land. The land of Al-Quds was taken during the Crusades. And when the Crusades marched into the land of Al-Quds, they had butchered the Muslims. They had slaughtered the Muslims. They had killed and executed every adult, male, female, child, baby were killed mercilessly. Devastation. If we go back to the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and let us draw a comparison between Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's attitude towards the Christians in Ilia, name given to the land of Quds back then. When he came there as the conqueror of Al-Quds, the Christians living in Ilia, and the people of different faiths, they were concerned, they were worried, they were afraid. What will Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala do to us? How will he treat us? Umar radiallahu ta'ala drew up a treaty known as Al-Wathiqa al-Umariyya. What was this treaty all about? It was a treaty of assurance of safety. There was a treaty that was drawn up. He assured them that your lives will be spared. Your places of worship will not be desecrated. The symbols of your faith will not be desecrated. Your churches will not be destroyed. This was the attitude and this was the justice that Umar radiallahu ta'ala had displayed on that occasion when he came and when the Muslims came in as the conquerors of Al-Quds. In fact, as he was drawing up this agreement, the agreement of Aman, this assurance of safety and protection, the Archbishop, the Bitriq, he said to Umar, it was time for Salah, that, oh Umar, let us pray Dhuhr. You want to perform your Salah? Pray the Salah in the church. You are in the church. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said, I will not pray my Salah in this church. For one reason is that in the future Muslims will come and they will say that Umar prayed his Salah in this church. Let us convert this church into a masjid. I want to preserve your place of worship. And he exited from that area and he went across the road where he performed his Salah. Lo and behold, there's a masjid standing there today. But when the crusaders, the Christian crusaders, when they marched into the land of Al-Quds, there was absolutely no mercy, no compassion whatsoever expressed towards the Muslims, especially the Muslims. They were also Christians, non-Catholic Christians, the Arab Christians who also suffered, and the Jews who suffered. But those who suffered the most were the Muslims. They were huddled into the complex of Masjid al-Aqsa. All the Muslims, and batch by batch, they were brought into the courtyard and they were executed. One of the commanders, in fact, he wrote to his superiors of the crusaders, praising them. And he says, I give you the good news that today I am walking in Muslim blood that has reached up to my ankles. Masjid al-Aqsa was turned into a dump. It was a manure dump. It was converted into a stable where they kept the animals. For almost a whole century, 90 years, Masjid al-Aqsa was subjected to this sort of desecration by the Christian crusaders. The Muslims were suffering until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, the liberator of Al-Aqsa, to emerge. And he then entered Masjid al-Aqsa as the conqueror 90 years later. And this great conquest, and the books of Tariq speak of how the night before, in the Taraweeh Salah, how they prayed to Allah, they supplicated to Allah, they asked Allah for His Nusra and His help. In the month of Ramadan, the last 10 days and last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to gain victory over the crusaders. Then you had the Ma'rika Ain Jalut. This battle was against the Mughals, the Mongolian Empire. The Mughals, I mean, they were on a different level. They made what the Crusaders had done, they made that look like child's play. The Muslims actually thought that this was Ya'juj and Ma'juj. The devastation and the killing and, subhanAllah, was of a different level altogether. The Mongolian Empire. And the Muslim lands again suffered extensively until there was a small dynasty known as the Mamluk dynasty in the land of Egypt, who had gained victory over the Mughals and the Mongolian forces. And this victory also had taken place in the month of Ramadan. The message for you and I, brothers, what does this have to do with me, all this, these historical facts? We all have an enemy and an opponent in our lives. I'm not referring to your boss, or your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, or anyone else. Right? We all have that enemy in our lives. There's that habit, that addiction. If Allah could give victory to Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi over the Crusaders, if Allah gave victory to Muhammad ibn al-Qasim over Raja Dahar, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave victory to the Mamluk dynasty over the Mughals, Allah can give you victory over your sleep at the time of Fajr. Allah can give you victory over that addiction. Allah can give you victory over that habit that you have developed. It's Shahrul Intisarat. It is a month where you need to identify your enemy, your opponent, and deal with it in this month. And subhanAllah, you have the advantage because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away the devil. Allah has taken away every satanic influence that is normally found over there. Out of the month of Ramadan, I don't say it's impossible, it's extremely difficult for you to deal and conquer your enemy and your opponent. If you can't do it in Ramadan, it's absolutely difficult to do it any other time. Identify that enemy, that opponent in your life. Perhaps it's in the form of music. Al-ghina yumbitu nifaq fil qalb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, music allows hypocrisy to grow in your heart. Sometimes you think, well, you know what, I listen to music. I know it's good to listen to music. It's bad to listen to music. It's haram to listen to music. But I'm not a hypocrite. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it creates hypocrite in the heart. Hypocrite is kufr that is concealed within the heart. I'm no disbeliever. What is meant? That it creates kufr in the heart. It creates hypocrisy in the heart. It creates the most salient characteristic of a hypocrite within you. And what is that? وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا. Allah says about the munafiqeen, when they go to prayer, when they go to salah, they do so with a great deal of lethargy and laziness. That's what music does. It kills the drive. It kills the enthusiasm. There's no enthusiasm. There's really no drive to do what Allah has asked me to do. The adhan is called out at the time of Fajr, but my sleep seems to be more sweeter. What has killed the drive? Al-ghina yumbitu nifaq fil qalb. Perhaps my addiction is in the inability to control my gaze. That's my opponent. I need to deal with it in the month of Ramadan and ask Allah for nusra. Ask Allah to help you. Sometimes we rely on our own religiosity and we rely on our own level of taqwa and piety. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik. Help me, O Allah. Help me to consistently and always remain in your remembrance. Ask Allah for that nusra. Nusra that He gave the believers on the occasion of Badr. The nusra that He gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of Fath. Allah can give you the nusra over that opponent of yours of inability to control my gaze. As-sahmu an-nadratu sahmu min sihami iblis. Man tarakaha makhafati. Abdaltuhu imanan yajidu halawatan fi qalbi. Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the hadith al-Qudsi that if you will give up the unlawful gaze and you will not succumb to your desires when you are exposed to something which is unlawful, whether it is in the form of a person, whether it is on your device, whether it is a billboard, whether it is in a magazine, if you will give it up, Allah says, I'll create within you such a state of iman, the sweetness of which you will perceive in your heart. Inna lil imani la halawa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, iman has a halawa. Iman has a sweetness, a unique sweetness. The question is, how do I taste the sweetness of iman? When you are in sujood and you do not want to lift your head up, because of the enjoyment that you find in sujood, you have tasted the sweetness of iman. When you raise your hands and you make dua to Allah, and you don't want to put your hands down because of the enjoyment you find in speaking to Allah, you have tasted the sweetness of iman. When you take the dhikr of Allah and you don't want to stop, when you engage in tilawah and you don't want the tilawah to end, you have tasted the sweetness of iman. What kills that sweetness? What kills that drive? An-nadra. the unlawful gaze, looking at haram. Perhaps it's in the form of an addiction for a certain substance, addiction for pornography. I need to deal with it. Perhaps it's in the form of an illicit relationship. Don't go and kill the woman, kill that lust within you. I need to deal with it in the month of Ramadan. Allah can and Allah will give me victory over that opponent. Allah gives us Ramadan to tell us, to teach us something, that this is who you can be. That's what Ramadan is given to us. Allah gives us Ramadan, it's a reflection of who you are. This is who you are and this is who you can be. You really can do this any other time of the year. Allah just gives you the month of Ramadan to make you realize that. And He makes the environment conducive for you. There are things that we do in the month of Ramadan we never imagined we could do before the month of Ramadan. Perhaps it's my anger. My inability to control my anger. Maybe that's my opponent. Maybe that's my enemy. I need to deal with it. One of the objectives of the month of Ramadan is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an opportunity to reach the ranks of the muttaqeen. Now sometimes when we hear muttaqeen, I think to myself, oh wow, muttaqeen, that's up there. I can't get to muttaqeen. Muttaqeen is a special place reserved for certain people in the society. Right? But Allah gives you Ramadan to reach that position of muttaqeen. One of the salient attributes of the muttaqeen, Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ. They suppress the anger. You know, when you look at the literal meaning of kadhama, kadhama actually means to swallow something. They swallow their anger. Maybe that's your opponent. I can't swallow my anger, right? And what's unique about swallowing? When I chew, you can see there's a visible movement. You can observe the chewing. But swallowing, you don't see it. You don't see the swallowing. So meaning they control the anger to such a state that you cannot even see the expression of anger on their faces. Al-Kadhimin al-Ghayb, and Allah uses Kadhimin, which is an active participle known as Ismul Fa'il. He doesn't say Yakdhimun al-Ghayb. He doesn't use the imperfect tense. Kadhimin al-Ghayb, meaning they do it all the time. Not only when they're forced to, it's part of their nature to do it. Perhaps that my opponent and that enemy is my failure to serve my mom, to serve my mother, to serve the one who has a right over me. Musa alayhi salam, he asks Allah. He says, oh Allah, arini rafiqi fil jannah. Oh Allah, show me who will be my companion in paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, oh Musa, such and such a person who's a butcher. Musa's shocked. A man who sells meat, he's going to be my companion in Jannah. So he says, oh Allah, I'd like to meet him in this world. Allah sends Jibreel. Jibreel alayhi salam directs Musa alayhi salam to a certain village. And he comes across the person and he goes to his store. And Musa alayhi salam is observing him to see what's that special act that's found within him that has earned him that lofty position. He's going to be my neighbor in paradise. He finds nothing out of the ordinary. The man closes his store, he takes with him a parcel of meat and he's heading home. Musa alayhi salam comes up to him and says, listen, I'm a traveler. I'd like to spend the night with you. Is that fine? He says, come along. When they get home, the first thing this man does is he prepares a meal with that meat, that parcel of meat that he brought home. And then he goes into one area of the home and he lifts an extremely old woman. And he brings her in the center of the home. He places her over there. He cleans her up. And then he takes the food that he prepared and he starts feeding her. Musa alayhi salam asks him that who is this woman? He says, this is my mother. And Musa alayhi salam hears her mumbling some words, but he can't make out what she's saying. Eventually he goes closer to her mouth, and he hears her making the dua, Allahumma ij'al ibni hadha sahib Musa fil jannah. Oh Allah, make the son of mine the companion of Musa in Jannah. That's what your mother's dua can do for you. It will take you to Jannah and beyond. Your mother's dua can take you to the arsh, let alone all the success, prosperity and happiness you enjoy in this world. One dua of your mother can take you to Jannah. And I tell the youngsters, the easiest dua to earn is your mother's dua. Really, it's the easiest dua to earn, yet it's the most effective. But it's earning it, not just requesting it. It's good to request, mom, make dua for me, dad, make dua for me, it's good. But one is earning it. Earning that dua that's earned and that comes from your mother's heart, which is really, really easy to do, will take you to Jannah and beyond. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.